I thought we'd have some fun today. It's Father's Day, right? It's about time. We always have fun. We are not conventional in any way here, are we? I don't think so. I bought some presents for the guys, but you have to earn them. You have to earn them. First of all, I need a 2 or 3 minute, less than 3 minute story on a dad. One of you have, your dad or maybe the wife or whoever would like to say he's the best dad in the world, like my wife did today on Facebook. She posted like, he's the best dad, and I know that the rest of you dads are the best dads in the world too, but that's okay. Quick one, anybody? Don't be shy, Tony. I know you. You got 1 minute.
My birthday ends up on the Father's Day. So often, all that. So I looked at the history of fatherhood and found out Father's Day was June 19th, 1910. So kind of didn't have a father's day. My dad, and very next day, my grandma's birthday. I'm trying to make her a point to go out to the cemetery.
Amen. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Right? Amen. Somebody else. Because you were the only one in four boys, right? No, three boys.
Yeah, four.
Four boys, that's right. He took care of you.
You know.
Yes, he was an awesome dad.
Me and my mom both.
How many of you were the only girl in a household of boys? Right there, right? Yeah, a couple of you, right? How many of you were the only boy in a household of girls? I don't know which is better. Probably both ways. It doesn't matter. It was the household you grew up in, right? But dads, this is for you. Let me ask you a question. Here's what I'm going to give you some questions, and please don't just shout it out. Please raise your hand, and I'll try and figure out who raised their hand first. But the Bible says the measure of a man is found in his faith. What tool would you use? I'll say it again. The Bible says the measure of a man is found in his faith. What tool would you use? All the women have it already. Come on, guys. Will, you have nothing? A what? A tool. A literal tool. Bevy. There you go. So where's Gail? You see how this works now? Did somebody figure it out finally? All right. That's for Gail. All right. Hey, you got to let the women step up if you guys aren't going to come through. All right. Here's another one. For the man who never underestimates the power of letting your light shine. Oh. I'll give it to you. There you go. Spotlight, or headlight, I should say. A headlight. That's what those are called, right? Isn't that what the headlamp? That's close enough. For the dad who understands the importance of keeping a level head. Oh, he's the only one who raised his hand. A level. Now you're getting it. Got to raise your hand, right? Sorry. Here's another one. For the dad who might find himself at the end of this. Rope, that's right. Now you have some poly rope, 50 foot long. You know what to do with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tie Tony up. All right. Just checking if you knew how to use that. Let's see, do I have another one? I think that's it. Which dad didn't get something? Which one didn't get something?
Will.
Which one do you want? You want the light? And you can be old as dirt here and be level.
She said I want the marble head.
I'll get you one, okay? I thought I had enough. I'm sorry, Roger. I will buy you a tool, special one just for you. How does that sound? Is it good to be a man, men?
Sometimes.
And most of the women are asking why. Why is it good to be a man? Well, let me give you 10 reasons. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. A 5-day vacation requires only a carry-on. When clicking through the channels, you don't have to stop at every shot of somebody crying. Guys in hockey masks don't attack you unless you're playing hockey. Michael Bolton doesn't live in your universe. Car mechanics tell you the truth. You can admire Clint Eastwood without starving yourself to look like him. Right? Gray hair and wrinkles only add character to man. Number 9, if another guy shows up at a party in the same outfit, you just might be lifelong friends instead of enemies. Then finally, the occasional well-rendered belch is practically accepted. Just some fun today. You know, sometimes we need just to have fun, right? I was talking to my wife the other day, and she goes, you know, I don't remember what fun looks like anymore. And I said, I'm not sure I do either, but we'll get through this and we'll have fun again, right? On Mother's Day, I told you that moms are called the most. That's the day the most phone calls are made in America, whether on a landline or on a cell phone or whatever. Guess what happens on Father's Day? The most collect calls. Now, in 20 years, we probably won't know what a landline is anymore because everything will be cellular or whatever they're going to come up with next. But dads, you're okay. Sometimes we're told that dads aren't okay. But dads, you're okay. I can't wait until I'm old enough and I'm in a place where my boys have always told me, they said, when you get old enough, we're just going to put you in a home so you don't pee on my couch, right? I said, we'll get back at you. We'll get back. I'll probably be the one making the collect phone calls to them all the time, and that's okay. I was at the post office at Yokes the other day, and I went in to send a package, and I walked up to the lady there, and she was looking like she was having a bad day anyway. But I asked her, I said, are you ready for Father's Day? Because, you know, they were having all their Father's Day stuff going on and sales and all that. And she kind of gives me this sideway glance, and that told me right away that she wasn't really interested in Father's Day. and it wasn't a very big deal to her. Now, if she would have done that on Mother's Day, I would have been suspect, but on Mother's Day, mothers are revered, aren't they? Think about this. Most moms get what on Mother's Day? What is the biggest selling thing besides a card?
Flowers.
What do you think dads get?
Socks.
A tie.
A gift certificate for Red Lobster.
Is that what you got? When are we going? I like flowers. I'm not sure I'd like flowers, but maybe a $50 gift card to some nice restaurant would be nice. I don't know. I have enough tools. I don't need tools anymore. I have all the tools I need. They keep asking me, what do I want for my birthday or what do I want for Christmas? And I'm like, I don't know. I got everything. And when I need something, I just go get it. So just buy me, I like pistachios, so buy me a bag of pistachios or something like that. And isn't that awesome? I'm going to head over to Seattle today again and come home Tuesday. Josh Bragg brought me a bag of beef jerky, and he said, "Well, I know you'll like this. You can eat it on the way to Seattle." And I said, "Well, that'll be my lunch. That'll be nice." But if you forgot Mother's Day, right? Sometimes guys, we just get thrown by the side. But if you forgot Mother's Day, you probably would be in the doghouse till about 4th of July. So never forget Mother's Day. Us dads, we can handle it. We can do it. Today, I don't want to put you through boot camp. Because, when I became a Christian, I started going to church. Every Father's Day, you know what Father's Day was? It was like a boot camp. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. Listen, we are doing things right. The world around us wants to tell us that we're doing everything wrong, that somehow, some way we are not able to do it anymore. We're not able to do things. But you know what? God places you guys. Listen. And women, God loves you too, but today this is Dad's Day. If Amy was here, she'd be preaching something like this to you, to us. And I'd get to sit up front there and I'd get to go, "Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus." But God has us on a different path this year. And so it's okay. See, today our society is making dads kind of look like they're not very intelligent, that they are buffoons and that somehow they don't know what they're doing. That somehow, if you look at a commercial, dads can't even load the laundry, right? Mom's got to come alongside or somebody's got to come alongside and show them how to even do laundry. Now, I was not the laundry guy in our house, right? Guess who did the laundry? Amy. So I learned really quick not to put fabric softener down the bleach thing, right? You're supposed to read it, bleach only. But, I learned, I adapted. And I think that sometimes guys, when you hear things and you see things, I want you to know that those are things that the enemy really wants you to put you down with so that you don't think that you can do anything. But the Bible tells us over and over and over again that you are incredible and that you are special and that God has a special place for you. That God has you in a special place, especially if you have a family and especially if you have kids. Our society is telling us today that fathers are expendable parts of the family unit. But listen, you have one of the biggest roles as a father or a grandfather that you'll ever have, is to be men who can help others around them. If it not be your own family, it might be another family. It might be somebody's child, right? Who comes to church and who needs prayer, or who just needs a hug. Did you know, and this isn't a slight on single moms and dads, but do you know that 39.6% of children in America do not have a father? 39.6%. And there are circumstances in life. I'm not here to condemn anybody or anything. Do you know, men, that your role just doesn't include your own family, but it's those in the body of Christ, those who need you, who need your support, need you to pray, and maybe give a hug when a hug is needed? You know why I hug every little kid that walks in our door? Because I don't know if they got hugged that week, right? What did you get today, Tristan? A hug, and you got all embarrassed. And I said, oh, you look so beautiful today. And she went. But you need, sometimes we need that. You see, we're placed on this earth, men, to encourage others, to lift them up, to lift up our family, right? To, when little Samuel is in service and he's making faces at me, you know, in the back, or when he's in service here, he's sitting in Will's lap and all he's doing is staring at Roger. I cannot, sometimes I have to laugh, right? He must like Roger's face because we hold this amazing place in society and in our families and in the Christian culture. That dads, you have duties and responsibilities to encourage. And you know what? We need to respect dads and granddads and show them the dignity of what and who they are. There's something special in God's eyes. Just like moms, you're special in God's eyes, just in a different way, right? You play a different role than guys do in our society. And in our family structure, and within the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, Paul says this, and it'll be up here if you have your Bible. Once you get out your Bible, I know it's, you know, it's archaic to carry a Bible anymore because we have Bible apps and iPads and all kinds of stuff. But in Colossians chapter 3, just pop over there really quick, if you would. Paul lays out the rules for Christian households here in chapter 3, because he begins chapter 3 with the rules for holy living. Since then, verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. He begins, he says, here's some things, right? And if you continue to read this for yourself, and I hope you will, you know, he goes in verse 5 to put to death there, whatever, and he begins to say all these things. These are Christian living. These are obedience rules. These are things that separate you from the world around us. They're things that separate you, right? I heard this a lot this week, and it struck me. It's like people say they're a Christian, but their actions say something else. I've heard that so many times. People that aren't Christians and Christians. Well, I know somebody, and they say they're a Christian, but... God is calling us to be different. God is calling us to live holy and righteous lives. God is calling us, especially men. You have this amazing role to teach your family, to teach your children what it is to live a holy and righteous life. Verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dear love, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, and bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, and forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, and put over all of these virtues, put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity, and let the peace of Christ rule your heart. And then at the end here, in verse 16, right, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Give thanks. Do it all, right? You see the last part of this? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in what? In the name of Jesus. Come on, guys. The world is looking at us and they're asking the question, why should I follow Jesus? Why should I follow Jesus? You know what we have, men? We have the answer. It's inside of you. It's deep down inside of you. You have the answer. Jesus is the one who set you free, right? He's the one who came into your life. And men, one of the greatest roles you have, whether you're a father or a granddad now or whatever, one of the greatest roles you have is your household, is your family. Taking your children or your grandchildren aside and saying, listen, I love Jesus and I want you to love Jesus. And Paul here, he goes on in verse 18, and this is where I was getting to before I was sidetracked. Paul says this. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now go to Ephesians chapter 5, would you, really quick? Pop. It's just a couple books over. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to get to verse 18. But I want you to see this in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says this to the Ephesian church. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now go to verse 8, verse 22. We're going to start in verse 21. Ephesians 5, verse 21. I want you to see something here, because when you begin to talk about the word submission, right, and you begin to talk about things, those things sometimes get taken out of place. In Ephesians chapter 5, I don't know why the writers of the Bible kind of separated this at verse 22, but they did. I personally would include verse 21 into this and drop it off at verse 20. But verse 21 says this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So if we as a family unit are going to be strong, then we have to what? We have to submit to one another. Then Paul goes on to say, he says, wives, submit to your husbands. Because you know what? Here it is. Here's this whole thing that Paul is talking about is a spiritual principle, this act of submission to one another. I rarely do outside marriages anymore, but I had this young couple come to me and they seemed on the ball and I thought, okay, we'll marry them. We'll do it. And one of the things, you gotta love young men in their stupidity. We were going through a chapter that was talking about this, right? And he goes, yeah, I really love the part on where she's got to submit to me, right? And I went like, oh my goodness. And you know what she did? Like the talons came out and and I'm like, oh my goodness, we're going to have a fight right here in my office. And I said, did you really read the scripture? Did you really understand the scripture? Did you come to the place where you really wanted to understand the scripture? And I said, your role, young man, is going to be greater than a simple act of submission. And as we began, it was a great moment because, you know what, we didn't even get through all the chapters we were supposed to get through because God had set up this moment of teaching, right? That the mutual act of submission in a marriage comes when you submit to one another. The role of the wife submitting to the husband, because Paul makes it clear, right? Men, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Here it is, guys. Here's the greater responsibility. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkles or blemish, but holy and blameless. We have the responsibility to make our spouses great. Yeah. Come on. Some of the guys say hallelujah. Come on. The women are going like, come on, pastor, preach it, man. Preach it, preach it. We have the greater responsibility. And I know you can do it. That's why I want to encourage you, because you can go on and read this yourself. But as we come to that place, right? When we come to that place and we understand why we're here, what our purpose is, then we can encourage and we can be an encouragement. And that not only are we encouraging our own family, but we're encouraging the families in the body of Christ. How many of you knew it was Riley's birthday? Oh, some of you are on the ball, right? How great is that? She's the one. She's big, right? You know what all you guys should do? Go wish her a happy birthday. Give her a hug. Give Tristan a hug just because it makes her smile. It's Tony's birthday on Wednesday. Be encouragers, be helpers, right? Pray for Keely Shea, man. July 22nd, she goes in for surgery. You know what you... 23rd. She goes in there. Right? What are we, men? We are there for her to lift her up and to help whatever we can. Right? How can we help you, Tammy? How can we come alongside of you? How can we be there for you? Keely Shea's like one of our own kids. Riley's like one. I mean, all the little kids we have that come, Josephina's kids, grandkids when they're here. You know what they're like our kids. Like Tristan, I mean. They are to me. I don't know if you are that place or whatever, but they are to me. Because we're the family of God. And I want them to succeed. I want them to be the best they can be. I want them, right, like little Samuel, I want him to grow up, right? So someday he's going to take over the role here as pastor. But isn't that our responsibility, guys, to raise up those around us, to make them better, to make them strong? In 1 Timothy 3:12, Paul urged Timothy to make sure he managed his children and his household well and respectable, in a respectable manner, to conduct ourselves in the way that the Word of God tells us to conduct ourselves. You see, no one, guys, let me ask you a question. Did your dad hand you a rule book on what to do when you were young? My dad gave me a boot and a butt and said, get out. Not that that was a bad thing or he was a bad guy. He just said, okay, here it is. I said, where's the book? I need a rule book. I need a guidebook. I need something. And he says, you'll do what I did. You'll learn. But I learned from him. I learned who he was. And I learned how he did things for people. I've told you over and over again that we grew up on the Indian reservation in northern Minnesota. And my mom was deathly afraid of, I think the right terminology today is American Indian. But my dad said, leave them alone and they'll take care of you. I've shared this before, but they used to come take tools, take gasoline, whatever. They'd go right in the barn and they would take it. And my mom always wanted to stop it and stuff. And my dad said, leave it alone. And what comes around will come back. It'll be okay. And you know what? Every time the tool came back, we never got gas, but we got food. They loved to smoke fish and deer and all. I mean, it would come back and be sitting on our door or whatever they wanted. And when they were robbing from other white people, guess who was it? It was my dad. Said, listen, we're going to help them and take care of them. Family down the street had 5 kids. You know what their names were? All the firstborn boys? Jackie. I always laughed at that. I said, why do you call? Well, that's just because. Right? And then they had some long, I can't even remember. It was like White Cloud or something like that was their last name or something like that. I learned from him that sometimes we can overreact, right? One of the things I learned from him was that how he not only treated me, but how he treated others. As I grew up a child, I could see, right? This is the first thing. The second thing is that we learn from our relationship with God. You know, the things I didn't learn from my dad, the things I learned from the Word of God, the things I learned from God and how I was learned to be obedient and how I learned to do things. I can remember the sense of strength and protection my father had. He was always looking after us, right? He was looking after my mom and us three boys, and that was his thing. My dad wasn't a tender guy. He didn't hug us, and he didn't kiss us, and he didn't, right? You know, if we ever got a hug, it was a bear hug, and it was a quick one, like, and he was gone, right? But my dad was just as loving as my mom. He just did it differently. And sometimes, guys, we do things differently, and we express things differently. You know what the first thing I learned, because I would like hugs, and that's why we hug here, is to hug my kids, right? To hug them. And sometimes my boys, you know, especially as they got older, they wanted me to let go, and I wouldn't let go. It's like when I leave Seattle, I don't want to let go of my son. Sorry. Paul, wants to see how wants to let us know, dads, how special we are. How special you are. Don't stop loving your kids. Don't stop loving church kids. Neighbor kids. Now don't go out in the street and just hand out candy, because today's society, they think that's a bad thing. But there are those around you who are looking at you to see who you are. They want to see who you are and know that you are sharing Christ's love and you have the legacy. You are making a legacy that only you can give as a father and as a man. That you have a legacy of Jesus Christ in your life. That they see Jesus in you. You see, when we show that legacy to other people, when we show Jesus to other people, we are being like Jesus, aren't we? And the world sees that. They see that in us. See, God's example is that he always is there for us, and our example should be that we're always there for others, especially our family and our kids. Because we know that God provides for us, right? He provides for us. I've never seen God not provide. Sometimes it's looked bad, but I've seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle. You see, a father also expresses his love and discipline. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, Solomon wrote, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." Sometimes discipline is hard. One of the things I had to learn is when my father disciplined me, he was a little over exuberant sometimes when he would chase me with a shovel, but me and my brothers were always into some kind of trouble. I love this story about a young man who was making poor grades in school, particularly in math. His parents tried various things, none of which seemed to produce the desired improvement. Finally, they decided to enroll him in a private school, and at the end of the first grading period, the young man came home and proudly presented his report card to his parents. They were shocked to find that all of his grades had improved significantly. Most noticeably, he received his first ever A in math. His parents were so overjoyed, they began to ask him question after question. They said, was it the non-traditional methods that they were teaching in the private school? He said, no. They said, was it the smaller class sizes and more individual attention? He said, no. And so his parents, they asked question after question, they said, well, what in the world was it then that all of a sudden you went from a D to an A in math? We're spending all this money and sending you to private school, and here you are. Well, the son replied finally. He said, when I walked into that school on the first day, and the first thing I saw was that man nailed to the plus sign, I knew that I better take things seriously here. Sometimes we need to be pushed to. Remember the movie Remember the Titans? Coach there pushed his guys to be more than they wanted to be, and some of them complained and stuff, but in the end, guess what happened? They won the state championship, didn't they? If you have never seen that movie, then I'd encourage you to see it, because sometimes we need to be pushed. Sometimes we need to be prodded. Sometimes we need, and sometimes a dad does that. It makes us stronger. My dad didn't have a lot of patience sometimes, but when he was teaching me how to do something and I didn't do it right, like for the 10th time, he would push me, right, a little harder until I got it. Dads, one of your greatest responsibilities, granddads, one of your greatest responsibilities is to make sure that your family, your grandkids know Jesus Christ. And if you don't have kids and you don't have grandkids, then if you're a man here, then your greatest responsibility is help our church kids know Jesus Christ along with their father, to come alongside and be there. Because a dad expresses his love through protection. One of the greatest things my dad did was to protect us and take care of us. You know, I know my father didn't work in a paper mill all his life because he wanted to. He did it because he was providing for us. He didn't get a choice on what career he wanted. He had to go to work. And I am very grateful for him doing that and taking care of us and loving us in his way. 1 Thessalonians, go to slide 10. And then back to 8. In 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 11 and 13, Paul told the Thessalonian church this. He says, "As a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his holy kingdom and glory." The primary gift, your primary gift, is the expression of love from a dad, is the legacy of salvation. When you can tell others about Jesus Christ, when you tell your kids about Jesus Christ, when you're loving them and you're saying the greatest thing you can have, son or daughter, is Jesus Christ. You see, when we are focused on what's the important thing, God's going to do great things for you through your obedience.
Hallelujah.
There's so much going on in our culture today that is so anti-Jesus, is so anti-God, is so anti-Christianity. I mean, I don't know if I could be a kid in public school today. I don't know if I could. There's so much going on, the pressure to be something you're not. The pressure to have to be this skinny, right? And look a certain way and look beautiful and or look muscular or to fit in with in a clique somewhere. Can you imagine the pressure on kids today when teachers are being told that they have to teach everything but Jesus? See, you know what's happening in our public schools? It's all right to teach Islam, but it's not all right to teach about Jesus. That's why we need to pray for young ladies like Trisha and Keely, Shea and Riley, who are in the midst of, you know, and they're in the midst of it. I can't imagine being a teenage girl, right? Not that I ever thought about being a teenage girl. Where you have to be a certain thing. Or a guy. A young man. It's especially got to be hard for Christian young men and women who are being taught one thing and then being taught another thing. So man, be great for Jesus. Can you be great for Jesus? Say, I will. Come on. Can you be great for Jesus? Somebody say amen. Will you put on some music? What I'd like to do today is I'd like to pray for our men today. So if you would stand, guys, and I'd like the ladies to come behind our men. Come on. I'm going to challenge you to get out of your chairs. Stand behind some men. Come on, Pat, you're going to have to come out, and Deanna, and come on. There's some guys over here that need some ladies. Come on. You know, this is going to make it easier. Guys, just come forward. Come on. Come on, guys. Just come forward. Should have just done this in the first place. Now the rest of you, surround our men. Come on. Ladies, I want you in front right here. Line up in front right here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know how we prayed for the ladies on Mother's Day?
In every season,
You know what we're going to do, ladies? We're going to pray for these guys. So I'm gonna leave it up to three of you ladies to choose who you are to pray for our guys this morning. And then I'll close. Okay? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. Father, today I lift up these men. I just ask that you would encourage them through your word, that you encourage them to be the men of God that you've called them to be, that you've encouraged them, Father God, to go into all this world. That, Father God, you compel them to do the things that your word says, that you compel them to be compassionate and kind and humble. That you can be, you would compel them to share your about your Son Jesus Christ. And I would ask that, Father God, most of all, you protect them and take care of them. Father God, you're an amazing God and we love you. And I ask the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit to just envelop these men here today. And Father God, we pray for Pappy right now. That God, this fluid that's building up on him would be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, you would take care of him. And Father God, for whoever else, we pray for Zach, God, today. No abnormal cells, no nothing, God. That God, he would be well in you. We pray. Thank you, Father God. We love you immensely, and we're grateful today. We're grateful for our guests who are here. We're grateful that, Father God, we are still here in this community, and that, Father God, we are going to make a difference. Lead us and show us how, God. Lead us and show us, I pray. We love you. And I pray this in Jesus' name, and will you say with me, amen? Let it be so. Let it be so. Hey, give somebody a hug on the way out. Let them know they're loved. God bless you. Bring a friend next week. There you go. There you go.